because we're going to do some work today. We're going to get our house in order. And I was gonna say, Marvin, I'm sorry I got my shirt tail out, but I noticed he had his out today too. So what's the deal? We're going to get our house in order, and that's the name of the sermon. And so I want you to go in your word to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And again, I thank Dan. I don't know if he can put the word up on the board for us when he's at home. He does a lot of things from home. So I'll rely on you and all your many, I didn't want to call them Babylonian translations, you know me, with the translation thing. Hopefully we can follow together. Do you know there's so many translations today you can read the same passage and not even know where you're at? I think there's something wrong with that. I do. I have an opinion about all the translations. I think they're money makers. I'm not. That's not my message. Get back. Get my house. I'm getting my house in order here today. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Mary, get in there and help Martha in the kitchen. Now, that's not what it says, right? You're wondering what translation I'm reading. No, that's what she was expecting Jesus to do. But here's what he said. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part. And that's what I'm going to focus on. It's the foundation of the message today. Mary has chosen the good part. Have you ever sympathized with Martha? I have. Put two hands up. I used to read this as a young Christian and say, Jesus, that's not fair. Thank you for the water, whoever brought it up here. If you have, if you've really sympathized with Martha like I have, you're probably a lot like Martha. Because I am. You guys see that, right? I get all running around here. You may ask, how do I get out of the Martha syndrome? Because every day things are demanding, coming from all directions, and it causes stress. It causes confusion. And church, where does confusion come from? And really, where does stress come from? Because we have a Prince of Peace. It is the opposite of stress. It causes confusion. It brings with it a sense of things spinning out of control. You can literally feel like one of these hamsters in a wheel running and running and running. Anybody have ever been that way? Yeah, I fight it all the time. That's why I'm preaching on it, because I have put some things into practice that I'm going to share with you today on how to get out of the Martha syndrome, because in reality, the priority at the moment wasn't fixing a dinner, doing all that stuff. Jesus was there, the King of Glory, God Almighty in a human body, in their house. And Martha, although she meant well, missed it. Missed it. I've actually seen this happen in a church service where you're preaching, you're worshiping God, and somebody gets distracted by something out in the parking lot. Or they think something needs fixed. And here you are, and they're running to go fix something or do something. And I want to say, stop, get back in here. That can wait till the end of the service. You don't need to do that. Because in reality, when we gather together, and I was talking to Jason and Marvin earlier, Jesus is in our midst. He is here. And I realize sometimes you got to take care of a restless child. I understand that. But in 1 Corinthians 14:30 it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And I'm going to tell you, church, if you let every distraction get to you throughout the day, you start on, have you ever had this happen? You start on something and then something pulls you over here. Now that's half done. Then you run over here and you start on that, and then something else pulls you over here. And pretty soon you got 8 and a half finished things. You feel like a total mess. Nothing's getting done, and you're getting pulled all over the place. And there's the curse of the cell phone. Now these are good little contraptions. But guess what, church? You don't need to answer every text that comes in within 2 minutes of getting it. You don't. And this becomes a bondage. Or you ever see people, they pick it up all the time. Every time it pings and dings, they got to answer it right then. Really? What's that doing to your psyche? What's that doing to you mentally and emotionally? You're not geared to jump here and there and here and there, because that becomes confusion. I told you the story, my buddy Adam. Love Adam. And Adam watches this. Adam, forgive me. Please forgive me, but you're going to remind me. You say, Kevin, you've said this to the church before. But I'm going to say it again. It's a good illustration. Adam comes up here. We're going to have some brother time, fellowship time. We had planned that we went to a Pacers game. You know, we had a Pacers game. He lives way in Arizona and get to watch the Pacers much. That's cool. And we had nosebleed seats. We were up there pretty far. But here we are watching. It's a good game. We're playing Cleveland, and I think... What was that guy's name? It was such a good player. He was there that night. He used to play for Cleveland. You can tell how much I follow it. LeBron James, he was playing, and the Pacers were keeping up. It was an exciting game, and here is Adam. I don't want to sit on the altar. Well, I won't sit down. But here's Adam sitting. Adam, did you see that? Yeah. And he's keeping up with his Facebook and all his stuff, and we're supposed to have brother time together. And he's always picking up his phone and doing this with those thumbs are going. Oh, my gosh. Now, I know I'm getting old, you guys. You got to have a little grace for me. I said to Adam, if I see you on that phone anymore, I'm going to take that phone. I'm going to throw it out on the floor. And I'll get it there from here. I'll throw it out on the floor, and we're going to be thrown out. And he got Adam, no, I can do that with Adam. He knows me. He knows me. And he calmed it down. But look, distractions. And Martha was distracted with all this stuff and missed the very King of Glory in her house, or almost missed it. 1 Corinthians 14:40 applies to the exercise of spiritual gifts in the church, but it applies to every area of your life. Let all things be done decently and in order. There is an order of life that can clear the confusion away from you. And there is a priority of life that hold Satan at bay, that stops all his clutter and all his, you know what, even good things come at you, and if you're not cautious with that, he'll distract you so much you'll be ineffective in every one of them. Matthew 6:33 says this, and he's also using this in a text of other things, but it's just the same principle of focus and priorities in your life. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If your eye's not single and it's over here and over here and over there and over here and over there, you're not full of light anymore. You're full of confusion. And the devil's a master at distraction. My goodness, I think of this to this day. And Jason, you instilled this in me. I can't tell you that I've improved a lot. But Jason used to say... And you just take this. He wasn't rebuking. He said, Kevin, you know, with many words, sin is present. He always said that. With all the clutter and confusion, the devil will get in there. You're not designed for that. You got to have a single eye. You got to be focused. Now, we're going to do a little bit of an exercise here today. I'm going to show you something in the secular realm, in your everyday life, as an example of how to treat your spiritual life and your life. So I need the whiteboard. Maybe, have any of you noticed all these tasks on the whiteboard over here? Wash the car, all that stuff. Could you bring it and just set it right here, front center, so we can see it on the camera too? We're going to do a little exercise, and I do need the eraser and the markers. I set them up on the ridge there. Thank you, Chet. Now, while he's getting that, just pretend as it were that it's not January with the snow flying, that it's now May 20th. The grass is growing, the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, you've worked all week, and you got Saturday off. You got Saturday off, and you have one day to get a bunch of stuff done. And now you feel the weight of it, and you got stuff like, you need to wash the car. It's dirty. The grass is growing like you can almost watch it grow out there. You got to break the garden, or you won't have a garden at some point. It'll be too late. And you got laundry. And pretend like you're like me, a bachelor. You got laundry to do. And women, everybody can relate to this. But then you got another problem. the roof has a leak. You're seeing it come in on the drywall when it rains. It's coming in around the chimney. You're coming around your fireplace. And you got a messy garage. Your carpets are dirty. You got to vacuum those. You never did clean the gutters. They're full of junk from fall and winter. And let's see what else. You've been wanting to install that flat screen TV in the den for a long time. No comment. He's already getting my message. I know. Don't be condemned, brother. The flower beds need weeding. They're starting to grow. Let's see what else I got. You got a dead tree in the yard that's been there a while. I've got several of them, and thanks to Mac, he's been cutting them down for me. And then finally, and I don't pay attention to this stuff because I'm a bachelor, but the furniture's all dusty, and there's cobwebs up near the ceiling. You got all this stuff. Now, what we do to ourselves and what the enemy does is he pushes, you got to get all this done right now. You got to get it all. You got 1 day to do it, right? And so we have a lot of methods we use, right? My tendency is to gravitate to all the easies and quickies. And you know what I do mentally when I do that? I'm procrastinating on the unpleasant stuff. And it builds up pressure inside knowing that wasn't right. But I felt good. I was doing a lot of stuff, right? I heard the vacuum sweeper going, all these easy stuff. But I never get to things. And this is not, believe it or not, if you want to have peace in your life, you must always infuse the principles of the Word of God into your life. And so we're going to focus on what Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen that best part, that good part. So when you face a day like this, or even every day, if you infuse that into your life, and we're going to start in the natural, because I'm going to give you this example, then we're going to jump over into the spiritual before the message is over. If you infuse that into your life, you're going to have peace. And believe it or not, you're going to keep up with things, and you're going to get things done, important things done. So let's do this little exercise. Now I'm going to let the church help me. Everybody's going to have a different opinion, right? But here's what I'm going to ask you. We're going to take things two at a time here. And I'm going to say, if you could only do one of those things that day and your head hits the pillow tonight, where would you have the most peace? What would you have rather had done? So let's do this. And I'm going to do an elimination. And we're going to choose the best part of our day. Doesn't mean you're not going to do anything else, because you may get that thing done and can go. But we're going to pick the best thing, the most important thing you got to do that day. And I'm going to do it very systematically. This is what I do to make myself get out of Martha and more into the Mary syndrome. Okay, when you go to bed at night, how many of you believe you'd rather have the car washed and the grass is still growing out there? Raise your hand. How many of you believe the grass needs to be cut? You can let the... Okay, goodbye. Next thing, the garden needs tilled. And you got dirty laundry. Now, if you're like me, I can go a long time because I got stuff hanging in my closet I haven't worn for a long time and I really should wear. But anyway, I'm not going to influence you. But when you go to bed at night, would you rather have the garden broken ready to plant and the laundry undone? How many of you believe that's more important? Raise your hand. Look, the guys are raising their hand. How many of you think the laundry needs done? Let the garden go. Oh, my goodness. All right. The laundry won that one. That's wild. No, it's okay. I'd be like those teachers you sat under. There's no good or right or wrong answer, which is totally not true in most of those cases. All right, now you got a problem here. And I'm not going to influence you, but I'm going to tell you facts. You're facing a day with just a certain amount of time. You got a leaky roof. The sun is shining, and you can fix it. If you don't fix it, every time it leaks, do you know how much damage, money damage, can happen if you don't fix that thing? And you got a messy garage. On easy street, I just go out and sweep the garage and feel like I did something and leave the roof alone, you know. But however, when you could get this done. You could fix that leaky roof that day. So when you go to bed at night, how many of you believe you'd feel better having the roof fixed? Raise your hand. How many of you feel better you'd have a nicer garage? All right, good, thank you. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking the stuff off my plate and not letting the devil crowd in on me feeling all pressured. You know, the garage can be swept any time. But 2 days later when it's raining and you're working and water's coming in, why didn't I fix that roof? All right, the carpets are dirty and the gutters need cleaned out. How many would rather have the carpets vacuumed and the gutters still cluttered? Raise your hand. The women all raise their hand. How many of you believe the gutters need to be? All right, goodbye. All right, I'm going to go down this list. Flat screen TV, it'd be nice to have it. How many of you would rather have that in the den and the flower bed still got weeds growing in them? Raise your hand. Look at this. But this is a good illustration, because if you give your flesh its way, it is going to take the easy, fun route, and damage will occur in one form or the other. I remember Bud Moody telling me, if you give your, the pastor I used to have up in Thorntown, if you give the flesh its way long enough, it'll kill you. I'm not saying that's happening to you. Okay, how many of you think the flower bed needs weeded out more? Okay, sorry there, Joe. Flat screen TV will have to wait. You know, you could watch the one in the living room if you have to. All right, last two. Cut down a dead tree that's in the yard, or dust the furniture and get rid of cobwebs. How many of you think the dead tree is more important to get out of the yard on this sunny day? All right, the furniture, cobwebs. All righty, okie dokie. You know, dead trees don't hurt much unless they're real close to the house and they could fall on the house. But I don't know if dust, unless you have a black or a brown recluse spider in your house, that might be bad. But anyway, now we're down to this. So let's do these two. Would you rather have the grass mowed? Raise your... What happened? All righty. Would you rather have the... How many think the grass getting mowed is more important than getting the laundry done that day, if that's all you could do? How many of you think the laundry is more important? All right, so the laundry goes. A leaky roof, getting that done when you go to by the end of the day, and not having the gutters cleaned, or getting the gutters cleaned and not fixing the leak? How many of you think the leaky roof's more important? And guess what? If you're up there and you get done, guess what you can do while you're up? Are you seeing the principle of Jesus? And I'm going to read some scriptures to why seeking first the kingdom and all the other things being added to you works. Now we're down to this. Weeding the flower beds or cutting down the dead tree? How many thinks the flower beds are more important that day? How many think the dead tree is more important? Oh, we got a split thing. Okay, I'm going to be the tiebreaker, so you see how my mind works. I get, you know, this tree, it's way out there in the barn lot because I got one. Matt cut it down. Those, you know, let's just, you know, I know, you don't have to agree with me. Maybe God will take it down. Maybe a big wind will come and he'll just... All right, we're down to three. And I want you guys to understand this spiritual principle of getting clutter and pressure out of your life and choosing the best part every day, because you have a lot more peace of mind. All right, we're down to the grass is growing and the roof is leaking. How many of you think the grass is more important? If that's all you could get done, raise your hand. The roof? Oh, this is good. Because guess what I do? If I can't get to the yard, I raise my blade. I cut it, it looks nice. I may have to cut it a little sooner the next time, but I just raise my blade and get it cut. All right, we're down to two left. The flower beds have hung on. It is the final game. That's the Cinderella team, right? Or the roof. How many of you think the roof is more important to fix that day? How many of you think the flower beds are more? And I would even say that. Okay, so what you do in a typical day is you say, I know I've got all this other stuff to do, but I am not going to let the pressure of that stuff crowd in where I get sidetracked. This is what I'm focusing on. And that's it. I'm not going to look out the grass and let it bother me. And guess what? That will happen. When you focus on, make your priority, your first priority, you're going to start, this stuff's going to start trying to crowd in, and you must not let it. You must stay focused and get something like that done. You can go ahead and take that back to the side. And guess what? You may have time, if you get that done, to get to the next thing that's a priority. Right? And I guarantee you, when your head hits the pillow, you're going to feel good. The dirty clothes aren't going to bother you so much, because, man, you can throw them in and they can wash while you're sleeping. But do that first. So, it's important to also set your spiritual priorities even more than your temporal ones. If you don't allow God to help you with your everyday life, choosing the best part, you will not be fit to work for Him as effectively as you could. You have to really get these temporal things down and get them, your everyday thing, in order. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's a good training ground. Because it says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" If your own self, if you're all spinning out of order, out of control, and you're a scattered out mess and you don't know how to set your priorities, you're not, if you're ever called to a ministry, that is going to fail too. And you'll go down. And our highest priority of all is the kingdom of God, right? Is the kingdom of God. And if you can't even do the simple things like that, and you can't even get through the day where you're tearing your hair out over dirty clothes or a yard growing with grass, believe me, how many of you have been in the ministry? You know what the pressure's like. You know what the devil throws at you. You know all the temptations, how he attacks your family, how he does everything to pull you down. So you learn to set those priorities and put everything else at bay. Everything else at bay. Jesus is the master of priority setting. He knew to get things done in the right way. I'm amazed when I read when he walked this earth, those years he was here, how he knew what to do when. He knew the proper things to be done, even though they wondered why he wasn't over here doing this. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, and he got things. Do you know at the end of John, it says he did so many things, the books wouldn't even contain it? Now, we love, I appreciate our medical profession, even though there's a lot of corruption in that medical profession, a lot of money grubbing, a lot of stuff going on, but they still are in the business of healing bodies, hopefully. But I can tell you this, Jesus, as he walked this earth, he didn't have these fancy buildings, he didn't have x-ray machines, he had nothing, yet he performed more miraculous healings and did more than Methodist Hospital, I guess it's called IUS, all these hospitals combined could ever do, because he was directed by his Father in heaven, and he knew how to organize his day and really, really get things done for his Father in heaven. And he cured diseases that were limited with our knowledge that God gives us. We don't know everything. But Jesus went about doing all that, healing those that were delivering those that were oppressed of the devil. He did all kinds of things. Even paid taxes with money out of a fish's mouth. Isn't that great? All right, so let's get to some scriptures about spiritual priorities, because I want to get to this before I'm done today. But I really want to instill in you how important it is to get the clutter, get the chaos out of your life and set your priorities, and you will get more done. It will be more important things. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, you won't be slack there either. Matthew 6, 30 through 33. Now, you're going to be familiar with these scriptures. But I did that exercise on purpose so these scriptures make more sense to you. They make more sense to you. I have to do that every day. And when I get off of the track of setting priorities, I'm a real total mess. Now, you may think I'm a bit silly. That's what I got these for. I probably had these cards back when I was around. Jason saw me writing on these all the time. I write stuff down I need to do. I get it out of my head and on here. And then later, I prioritize what's the most important. That's what I do. I have to do it. Mary has chosen the best part. We need to choose the best part as Christians. Wherefore, if God so, this is Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you think Jesus was lying to you? It works. It works because he instills in us by the Holy Spirit what the most important thing is. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven. You know, we mean well when we raise our kids. We mean well, and I've seen this with families through the years, and it breaks my heart when I look at this scripture, and believe me, I'm not against sports. I just told you that I went and saw the Pacers. NASCAR racing's my favorite. But if that's out of whack, and I've seen families do this when it comes to church attendance and getting their kids in the youth group and things, they nowadays in our society, all the schools except for Christian schools, I hope, now they have sports and all this stuff even on Sundays. And do you know why? Oh, God help me not get on a soapbox here. Because the Christian people stop telling the schools, the secular schools, my child will not be in this sport on Sunday. Because our highest priority is God. And when the salt lost its savor, then the public school system just started having more and more events on Sunday, and we lost our salt, so now we're overrun with it. And then our Christian parents justify it. Well, God knows our kid needs to be in sports. Our kid, this is good for little Susie or little Tommy. This is good. But you have set a precedent with your child that God does not come first anymore. And I'm going to tell you, that basketball game, that baseball game is not going to carry your kid when they get older and start facing the trials of life. Very few people come out of high school and be a professional athlete. But Kevin, they need to learn to work with others. Are you following this example of Jesus when you pull them out of church and you're running all over the place to these events? No. I always say, get back with me in 15 years and tell me how good that worked for you. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, and it's a sad thing, because the church, oh my goodness, that's a whole other message. The salt of the church caves into the world so much. They get lukewarm, and they cave in, and they cave in, and they cave in. And this is why we got the mess in Washington. I don't want to get back on that. Oh, God, help me with that. If the church would do the church's job and win the lost, and the Spirit of God would move across this land, we wouldn't be having heartaches of elections. It would be a landslide in the right way. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus said to him in Matthew 22, 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Why do you think it was the first one? It's the highest priority. If you don't even love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, forget about even fulfilling any of those other commandments in you at all. You're not going to love your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to honor your father and mother. You're not going to be honest in your business dealings. You're going to tell, you know, but if you do the first one, he puts his spirit in you and writes his laws on your hearts through Jesus, and all the rest of it happens. Now, I've heard a saying all my Christian life, and it always bothered me. And we have a lot of, someday I think I'll do a sermon on cliches. You know what a cliche is? God helps those who help themselves. The truth is, God helps those because they can't help themselves. It's just by faith. But there's a lot of cliches we have out there that are not truths of the word, and we've swallowed them. One of them is this, and I know what people mean when they say this, but they've misplaced the meaning. You know, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's not a true statement. You know how I know that? Because Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. And if you are truly, in the right sense of the word, directed by the Holy Spirit, heavenly minded, you'll be nothing but earthly good. Do you think Jesus was no earthly good? Do you think he was heavenly minded? He saved the whole world on the cross if they would come to him and receive it. Look at all he did. The truth is, if you're heavenly minded, you're going to be going about your Father's business, loving people, gifted by the Holy Spirit. Maybe one of you may have the gift of healing, and at times when people have faith, you lay hands on them and they recover. Another one of you may have prophecy, and you can guide and direct and give comfort to people who need direction in their life. Another one of you may have wisdom. Are you kidding me? That statement is a false statement. There's no such thing as being so heavenly minded, because if you're truly heavenly minded, you're an instrument of God in this earth. And he said, my Jesus said to me that you will have rivers of living water flowing out of you into others. And those rivers of living water bring life, not death. So that's a false statement. If you're saying it, stop saying it. There's no such thing. Nobody was more heavenly minded than Jesus himself and came to save anyone on earth that would be willing to come to him and trust him. Now, here's a very, when I worked at the radio station, the gal that used to run, and I'd run around and get her requests in the beginning, she used to quote this all the time. Thank you, Nancy. Lord, let her know that I appreciate it. She's in heaven now. Nancy Wilson was her name. But she used to quote this all the time, Proverbs 3, 5, 6. In fact, can we quote it without looking at it? Why not? No, I'm going to start it. Let's see if you can finish it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's everything. That's a little problem at work you have. That's a struggle you're having at home. That's a struggle you're having with yourself. The list is endless. If you acknowledge him and all those things, just tell him about him. Don't try to figure it out. If we could figure it out, we wouldn't need to come to him. But he'll direct our paths. What I did on that board was a little exercise. We were infusing that scripture. Mary has chosen the best part. And I was forcing you to choose the best part of that day. When you set priorities in the natural and the spiritual, you will find your timing will be perfected by God. Do you know that? If you set priorities, he's going to set timing in your life to be at the right places at the right time, to do the right things at the right time. Boy, that's another sermon, is timing. Timing makes the difference in everything. When you go up, you think about this. When you go up the road and you got to think about the care of the angels about you, God having his hand in the affairs of men, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of the most powerful verses that you can read. Because good timing, I'll start with bad timing. Bad timing is heading up the road and somebody spins out of control and hits you head on. In Jesus' name, let that not happen. That's bad timing. You didn't plan on it, right? And you can give me a lot of cases of bad timing in your life. I could. Good timing is like the day that I was directed to go south of Bonnie Skank's house and wind around to get down to 136, and I saw a woman lose control, and I saw her car go down in the ditch and flip two older women in that car. Good timing was that God had me there at that very moment. And I couldn't be distracted by the other stuff I had to do. That became the priority of that moment while the car was on its upside down. And they would thank God they had their seatbelts on, holding this woman's hand, praying for her. And I think one of them came to our rummage sale and said I was in that accident a year or so later and talked about that's God's timing, praying for them. The other one did break her neck, but she lived and was okay. Praying for God to intervene, to touch them. And man, I'll say this publicly on Facebook, and I'm ever conscious of this, but if anybody's watching from the Brownsburg and Pittsburgh Fire Department, you guys are top notch. They were out there so fast. And guess what? I prayed for her, but I had 911 on the way too. But that's good timing. And God can arrange those kinds of things in your day, but you must learn to choose the best part of your day. The first best part is seeking him when you get out of bed. Don't run into your day without Jesus. Seek him first. And while you go into all this secular stuff, learn to sort out your priorities. Get the clutter out of your life. Do it God's way. Do it Mary's way that day. Choose the best part of your life, and he's going to have you where he wants you. You'll see it happen. When you infuse the word into your life, things happen. You know how I know that? The word has become flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus. And when you infuse him into your life, miracles happen. In all kinds of ways you can't even keep track of. Well, I don't know. I told Alex earlier, I don't know how to close this message. And the Lord just said, just put the truth out there and let it be. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the truth out there and let it be. And I hope you can take something home, especially if you're like me and you tend to be like Martha and be all scattered about. Pray for God to infuse that priority, the priority setting in your life, choosing the best part, and Satan will be held at bay, and you'll have something that you may not have had in a long time in your daily life, and that's peace. The clutter and the confusion will go away if you do it God's way. But most importantly, do it God's way spiritually. Seek Him ahead of everything else. Your life is never going to get in order unless Jesus is first place. And sometimes that means saying no to people who want to pull you the way of the world. Saying, well, I guess I'll lose that person as a friend if I... You know what? You don't have them in the first place. If they're not in the Lord, you'll lose them forever. And maybe you're the only Jesus they see. Maybe you're the only Jesus they see, but you have to put Him first, or your life will unravel and spin out of control. And what happens beyond that is destruction and every evil work. Amen? Everybody stand. Alex, sing us a song before we dismiss. So glad you came today. I hope you take this with you.